Join us now for the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Our speaker today is Reverend Stephen Jones, Vice President for Administration at BJU. The title of his message is, Protect Your Most Valuable Asset. The text is from Proverbs chapter 4, verses 1 through 4 and verse 23.
This morning, if you would, open please to Proverbs chapter 4. When I was in college, I had kind of a romantic ideal of what it would be like to have children. Now, the two, romantic and children, may not go together in your mind. I had kind of the greeting card mindset about kids. You know, the person, the father standing in front of a beam of sunlight coming through a window in a black and white photo holding his first child, son or daughter. I had kind of that anticipation of parenthood. But really, that kind of anticipation, looking ahead at parenthood, cannot possibly prepare you for the emotions of parenthood, the love of parenthood. Even while the child is still in the womb, the love is growing, this commitment, this link to this child, this desire for the child's best for all of its life, however long that may be, is growing in you. And then when the child is born, to hold that son or the daughter at the hospital the first time and just to look at this dependent sinner in your arms and to long for it with everything within you, to try to pour out your soul to the child through your eyes, through your actions, through your words, hoping that the Lord will help this child to realize that you want only what's best for that child. Even though at times its heart may want to go one way and you may know that it's the wrong way, that there's a better way, you always want that child to be near, to love you as you love it. Now that kind of love, that parental love, it's a love that deserves a hearing. Some of you may not come from the best homes, but Christ has told us that even the evil parents know how to give good gifts to their children. That is still the natural outpouring of the heart of even ungodly, godless parents to give and do what's best for their children. And that kind of parental love deserves a hearing. And this morning I want to focus on a message from that kind of a parental heart. Look, if you would, Proverbs 4, verses 1 through 4. Solomon is speaking in verse 1. He says, Hear ye, children, the instruction of a father, and attend to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine, forsake ye not my law. For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, Let thine heart retain my words, keep my commandments, and live. In Proverbs 1 through 9, each major exhortation, each major new lesson that the writer gives to this son, this child, starts with an exhortation to hear, a longing call. Hear me, listen to me, attend to my words. I know of what I speak and I desire what's best for you. Here it starts off in the same way, but it's even more intense in this passage. And it's not just one parent's love for a child that we're hearing. We're eavesdropping in on two generations of fathers communicating to their sons. Look, if you would, again at verse 3, he says, For I was my father's son, tender and only beloved in the sight of my mother. He taught me also and said unto me, and then he goes on for a lengthy quotation through verse 9 to quote his father's words to him when he was a boy. David's words to Solomon, which Solomon is now passing on in turn to the son God has given him. So we're listening first to a loving message, a message that longs for only what's best for the hearer. And we're listening to a message not just from one father, but from two fathers passed on to the next generation. A loving message that has been time proven. It's not something new. It's something old and reliable and worth following and listening to. It makes it clear that wisdom is an inheritance, that it can be passed down from one generation to another. But it also makes clear to us by the command to hear, to retain, to keep, that each generation has a choice to take that inheritance or to leave it and go a different direction. And so this morning, as you hear this, as you hear the Word of God, you have a choice. cannot force you this morning to hear God's word, but I long for you to hear God's word and to make the choice. Yes, that is true. It comes not only from the heart of two loving fathers for their children, but it comes from the heart of my heavenly Father for me. It's the longing of my God for me this day. There are many valuable lessons in this passage. The one I want to focus in on, I could summarize like this. Protect your most valuable asset. Protect your most valuable asset. If I were to ask you this morning, what is most valuable to you? There'd be lots of different answers. Probably what we'd need to do is to look at you and look at how you live. What do you take greatest care to protect? For some of you, it's your journal, your private writings to yourself, your dear diary things that you keep under lock and key. The book itself is locked and then it's locked in a drawer somewhere because you don't want anyone else to know. You protect it very cautiously, very carefully. For some of you, it's some possession. Think of the care you go to keep your computer, your laptop safe. You buy one of those little cables, you put it through the desk, you put it through something because you don't want it to walk off in somebody else's arms. But you take great care for your laptop because you've invested in it. It's dear, it's precious to you, it's valuable to you. But there's something more valuable. For some of you, you protect most your car. And I've always laughed at the idiots who park at the end of a row and leave half the row empty because they don't want anybody to touch their precious car, to scratch it. Sure, they have to walk through the rain, through the snow, uphill both directions to get to the store and back. But yet they care for that so much. Some of them do a 12-step wash process, be sure all of the microscopic grit is off of it before they put any kind of sponge on the car because they don't want to smear the clear coat and scratch it. Think of all the care people go through for their possessions. Think of the care for your person this morning. How much time did you spend in front of the mirror preparing yourself for the day? How much time did you take to be sure that what you have on hopefully matches, even though that's not terribly in style these days? How much time do you give to yourself, to your physical possessions, your person? Let me ask you this morning, have you taken anything near that much time for your most precious asset, your heart, your soul? Do you even bother to protect what comes in? Do you even bother to protect what you express that comes out of your heart? That's the message. Look down at verse 23. Where Solomon says very clearly to protect the most valuable asset. Verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The heart. First, let's go for a definition of that. What does it mean here? Is it talking about your emotions? That's what we think of this week of Valentine's. Your emotions, your romantic attachments. Is that what it's talking about? Not necessarily. That's part of it. But it's a bigger term in the Old Testament. It's the major term, the overarching term for the entire inner self. Everything non-material about you, your personality, your emotions, your will, your mind, your intellect. Are you protecting those things? Are you protecting your mind from the barrage of wickedness around you? Are you protecting your will so that it only delights to do what God desires? That is your meat, to do the will of Him who saved you. That's what the heart means. It's the entire inner person. And let me ask you, have you taken as much time with your inner self this morning as you have with your outer self? Because this verse says not just to be even with it, not just to spend as much time, but to spend far more time and attention and energy on your inner self, on protecting and keeping your heart. It's serious business here. There are two words that are actually translated here, keep thy heart with all diligence. Two words that are used, two other ways of phrasing this. One man has said that you could phrase it like this, above all guarding, above everything you guard, guard your heart. Another man has said, guarding your heart, keep guarding it diligently. It's a complex, compounded, intensified meaning here by using two words to suggest the same thing. It means this is serious, more serious than your outer self or any possession you might have. It means that this act should transcend any other self-protective act you have. If someone were coming at you with a knife or a gun, you would take some kind of self-protective act. You would get the fight or flight mechanism response. You would go to serious lengths to protect your life. And this says that you should take even more care protecting your inner self and keeping it pure before the Lord. The first word connotes, it's used often to display an enemy that's without, outside, some attacking enemy coming at you, coming for you. And is it not true that we're under constant barrage, constant attack? The advertisements are worse than the programs. The billboards are worse than the magazines. There's all sorts of stuff that is constantly in front of us. We are under attack increasingly in our society. It's constant. It's everywhere. It's aggressive, in your face, flaunting wickedness in front of you. It's accessible. It doesn't carry any opprobrium these days. It used to be, if someone wanted pornography, they had to either put on a hat and go into a magazine stand and pull one off, or get one in the mail in a blank paper wrapper. But there was opprobrium because somebody always knew, somebody had always seen you. But these days, it's private. It's at your computer. It's on a CD-ROM. It's accessible. It's in your face, and you are under attack. I am under attack. And you and I must exercise protective action. As Psalm 101 verse 3 said, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Have you taken as great care to protect yourself, your mind, your soul, from what is attacking from without, as you have with how you look today? The second word for keep or guard, it connotes, it talks about an enemy that's not outside, it's inside. Because you know what? That's the difficulty of us. That's the difficulty we face every day. Not only is the temptation outside, it is in us. It's inborn in our Adamic nature, inherited, a propensity, a lust for, a desire towards sin, that is the most natural thing to us because it is our born state before the new birth, and it is still a battle and a plague. It's an enemy within. The second word occurs 22 times in the Old Testament. 16 times it has to do with a jail, something built to confine some kind of unworthy or unwanted element from getting out. You know what? You have that. It's right inside. It is wicked. It is deceptive. It desires to overthrow and destroy you, and you are supposed not just to protect from what's outside, but to keep under, to keep from breaking out the wickedness that's within. If you have no idea what I'm talking about this morning, then I doubt you've ever known Christ. Because until you know the depths of your wickedness, you cannot call out to Christ to save you from that wickedness. And if you are a Christian, you're saved, but you think, oh, well, it's not that hard, then you're not attending to yourself as you should be. You're not in the Word knowing how much there is left in you that needs to be mined out and disciplined out by the Word of God and the work of the Spirit. Now, there's a silly phrase, oh, just trust your heart. That's idiotic. You cannot trust your heart. There's the phrase, oh, it can't be wrong if I feel this way. That's unbiblical and clearly wrong according to Scripture. Proverbs 28:26 says that he that trusteth in his own heart, he that takes that advice, trust your heart, is a fool. But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. Jeremiah 17:9 says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? That's what you are. That's what I am. It's the enemy within that we have to guard against, not just the enemy without. And this is why we have to give ourselves to protecting, to keeping from expressing this enemy within and giving in to the temptation without. And why do you have to guard it? Why do you have to protect yourself so vigilantly? Because it affects all of your life. What you cultivate within, the life you cultivate within, will come out before others. Look at the last phrase of the verse. For out of it, out of the heart, out of this inner man, this inner person, are the issues of life, the outgoings of life. the outflowings of life. The picture is somewhat like a wellspring or a spring in the mountain that at the source, where it bubbles forth, is the source of everything downstream that follows. And that's what your inner man does. Your inner person is the source of everything that you do, everything that you think, everything you desire has been cultivated first within. And that's why you're supposed to protect yourself, your inner person, from sinfulness. As the people in the East, during this time, in biblical times, water was rare. The wells had to be protected. You didn't want an enemy to come in and to pollute your well. They were carefully guarded, carefully kept, so that the people who had dug the wells could use the wells and their generations following. But you know what? You have a well within you that will be either polluted or pure. It is naturally polluted, and it needs to be purified by the Word of God. And you're supposed to protect from the temptations without and from the natural corruption within. You don't want life to get gunked up at its source. But some of you already have. You've taken in pollution right and left to the point that you don't even realize anymore that it's pollution. To the point that there is no conviction anymore when you allow it to cling to your soul, to defile your inner person, and to corrupt the way that you're choosing for your life. Every phrase you hear, and some of you even already in this chapel, you've heard some phrase, and immediately in your mind, there was a song to go along with it. Some popular song, some rock song, some alternative song, whatever it is. Every phrase suggests something else and leads you off in another direction other than where God wants you to go. Every phrase, even words that you hear throughout the day, things in the classroom, bring to mind filthy jokes, filthy stories, filthy words that you've heard, associations that you've made, because you have gunked up your inner self. And it is corrupt. And it is manifesting. It is showing itself. Because all the more you take in, it just reflects what you've allowed in already. And you're headed in the wrong direction. Your loving God says this to you. And the advice of two godly generations say this to us. To keep your heart with all diligence. But some of you probably haven't. But we must. And what's it demand? It demands diligence. You and I cannot be casual about the life we lead. Okay, you and I cannot just accept everything that comes to us and say, okay, it looks good. Let me take it in. Let me go that direction. Let me choose that route. Let me make friends with this person. You cannot be casual about your spiritual life. You cannot be lazy and accept without discerning. Not to hold up the Word of God against everything you hear and to say, does it fit with what God says is true? If it doesn't, it has no place. You know what? That takes effort. And we are inherently lazy in addition to being inherently corrupt. But we cannot be lazy, accepting, undiscerning. We have a command to keep our heart. And it's an intensified command. Keeping, having guarded your heart, keep guarding it diligently. Be vigilant and be tireless to keep guarding. You know what? It's not easy and it gets tiring. It gets tiresome to put up hedges around your life to protect you, to keep you in the way that you know God wants for you. And it's hard to always be looking and thinking, and you just want to relax, don't you? And to vegetate and to take in whatever the world has to offer. And at that point that we do that, we have failed to guard our hearts. Because we're supposed to be more self-protective of what is within us and what we allow within us than we are even of our physical, our human lives. We must be vigilant. We must be tireless. But you know what? Solomon failed at this. Turn over, if you would, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings 11. He started out very well. It said that he loved God and that God loved him in a special way. He started out well. But he was not tireless in keeping his heart. If you would, look at chapter 11, 1 Kings, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites. Of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, ye shall not go into them, neither shall they come into you. For surely they will turn away your heart after other gods. Solomon clave unto these in love. And he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines. And his wives turned away his heart. For it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father. Solomon had temptations from without, didn't he? He had the temptation to be just like the other kings of the other nations, to show their greatness, to show the desire of other nations for alliances and peace treaties. Marry the king's daughter, marry the princess, to align your nations, to show your greatness. He had that temptation to be just like the other nations, and it seemed perhaps innocent. It can't hurt to be like them. It can hurt in that it was going directly against the word of God. He had commanded explicitly Israel not to marry people from these nations. And he had commanded the Israelite kings not to multiply wives. And Solomon dropped his guard against the temptations from without, and he gave in to them. And they corrupted his life. He wasn't able to indulge those with no repercussions, with no consequences. They turned his heart so that when he died, it had already been decreed that while it would not happen in his life, in the life of his son, the kingdom would be split. It would be taken from him because of his unfaithfulness, his disobedience to God. He was also expressing the lustfulness within. It was his desire for many women. He could justify it by what was happening around him, but he expressed the filthiness, the lustfulness that is within each of us. He failed at this in his old age. He wasn't tireless. For a while, yes, he was vigilant in keeping his heart, but then he let down his guard against the enemy to his soul, the enemy within and the enemy without. So if Solomon failed, how can you and I guard our hearts? I want to be real practical here. How can you and I guard your heart? How can I guard my heart? Here's how. First, ask God to reveal corruption within. I don't know if you have ever stopped to say, Lord, if there's something in my life, something in my heart that you don't want there, take it away. It's a two-edged prayer. It reaps good consequences, but you know what? It can be a very discouraging thing because he can peel back the layer, the facade you have put over it, and he can show you the depravity of your heart to the point that you are broken and almost depressed. How every thought seems to be only evil continually within you. But you know what? You need that purification. You need him to show you the corruption that has clung within and that is tainting everything that flows out of you. You need it. So pray for the Lord to convict you of present sin, of things that have been retained, cherished, that God says are not allowed in the Christian life, are destructive to the Christian life. And then soak yourself in God's word. If you're going to know what's right and what's wrong, you're going to need a frame of reference. You're going to need some point to compare everything you hear, everything you see, everything that appeals to you, and everything that appeals within you. You're going to need to compare it to something. Spend time in God's word. Spend time protecting yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Spend time in God's word. Psalm 119:9, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? You know it. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. God tells us how. How do you cleanse what's within that's vile and filthy? Know his word. Spend time in his word, listen to it, and more than that, heed it, obey it. Follow what you've seen there. Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. How do you choose the direction? How do you choose what's right and wrong? Go to God's word. Ask him to illumine you, to show you with supernatural wisdom that he has made known and available in his word the way to go. So pray for conviction of present sin. And soak yourself in the word of God. You know what? You can't hope to keep the fountain of your heart clean if you're not coming to the Word of God that washes you with God's wisdom. You cannot hope to. It's a lost cause. If you're not willing to devote yourself, to dedicate yourself to knowing God's Word, you'll never get out the corruption and you'll never guard against the temptation from without. And your life will be filthy and tainted by what's within. So what did Solomon say? Proverbs 4, he said, protecting your inner person, protecting my inner man, it should transcend any other self-protective act. As much as you would protect your life, you should be even more violent in protecting your soul. Best illustration of this I know is my father-in-law. Before he was saved, when he was 17, he was out in Kansas working on a farm. As he was going through the fields working with a grain auger one day, he got his left hand stuck in the grain auger that pulls wheat in, grain in, and processes it. And he knew very quickly, on this, just a spur of a moment, that if he didn't do something violent, that auger would continue to turn and to pull him in and to kill him. It had happened on many farms before. And he knew radical action had to be taken. So he reached in with his right hand, grabbed his arm, and pulled it out with the loss of fingers. But that was better than the loss of his life. He took violent action to protect his life. And you and I are supposed to be even more self-protective of what's within. But you know what? We don't even think about it. We don't even stop during the day to think about what's coming in, what am I allowing, and what am I expressing from within. But we should be even more protective of what's inside than of our very lives. So Solomon has said, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Above all guarding today, from here on, for the rest of the day, more than anything else you give time and attention and diligence to, more than all guarding, guard your heart. Protect your most valuable asset that directs the remainder of your life. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we ask your forgiveness. Forgive us for being lazy and corrupt, for failing to guard our heart, our mind, our souls from the corruption, the temptation that's all around us and the corruption that's within us and desires so much to express itself. Lord, we ask that you would use your word to convict us. If we have taken a light view of what it means to be spiritually pure, spiritually clean before you, if we have taken an accepting view of what the world has to offer, its entertainments, its conversations, its friendships, its directions. Lord, we pray that you would convict, that you would get a hold of our hearts, and that you would give us determination, commitment, first to ask you to cleanse, and then through your strength to guard our hearts, to keep them only for you, diligently, vigilantly, for as many days as you give us on this earth, that you might be well pleased with us, and that we would be pure and usable vessels before you.
You've been listening to the Chapel Hour, coming to you from the campus of Bob Jones University. Our speaker was Reverend Stephen Jones, Vice President for Administration at BJU. For a cassette copy of today's message, send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina 29614. Be sure to mention the name of the speaker and today's date. The Chapel Hour has been sponsored by Bob Jones University.